All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, as we continue our study in this book known as a pastoral epistle written by the Apostle Paul, humanly speaking, but obviously written by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. And we're going to see that at the end of the chapter we're in a few weeks perhaps. But this evening we want to look at just one verse, and I can't even guarantee I'm going to make it through this one verse. But it's to me at least, it's a very challenging verse. And so I hope you'll find it that way too, as to what God is telling us. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now the list continues in verse number 11, but we're definitely not making it that far this evening, so we'll just stop right there and ask God's blessing and jump right into it. Father, we're grateful for your goodness to us in giving us your word, and Lord, we know that it's given from heaven, a perfect book without error. Father, that it is a living book, that as your Holy Spirit speaks to us through it, our lives ought to be changed. Father, as we spend time in it tonight, Father, may we be changed. May we become more like Christ as a result of listening to your word preached tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come into this verse, I've just simply titled it, and it actually is the next verse as well, but Paul's testimony. Paul's testimony. Now, not his testimony of salvation. He records that several times. In the book of Acts, God gives us the account of how we got saved on the road to Damascus. And then several times after that, he gave his personal testimony of exactly what God did when he saved him. But this is his testimony after salvation. And he's speaking to a young man, maybe not so young by the time of 2 Timothy, but one of his men that he mentored in the ministry. And he's telling Timothy, look, you know all about me. You know who I am. You know me perhaps better than anyone else on this planet. And that's what he is referring to when he says, but thou hast fully known. This just simply means to follow in the same path as a disciple. The idea of fully knowing. And so it's kind of like the young person who follows their dad around or maybe follows mom around the house. They know exactly what mom and dad are like. And usually they try to mimic mom and dad. And that's one thing I can still remember when Stephen and Anna were just toddlers. And it was in the winter time. And I remember walking from our garage, which was out back a little bit, into the house and seeing them try to step in dad's footsteps. And when I noticed that, I started taking smaller footsteps. But that's what they were doing. They were trying to mimic dad. And that's what young people usually try to do. And Timothy knew what Paul was like. He watched him. He examined him. We all have eyes on us to see what our testimony is like. Some are doing it in order to mimic us and to live like we live as we follow Christ. Although others, of course, and this comes more in the next verse, are doing it in order to find an accusation against us, to find inconsistencies so that they can cry out hypocrite and try to discredit us in their own minds. Now, the one that they're actually striking out against is God Himself, and it's not us. So don't be discouraged when you run into people like that. And that's the message after verse number 10. And so I'll just stop right there and jump into the things that Timothy learned of Paul, that he saw in Paul as he followed Paul around, and he knew that Paul was real. Paul wasn't perfect, but Paul was real. And this was his life, summed up for us here in verse number 10. The first thing he says to Timothy, he says, look, you knew my doctrine. You heard me preach. You heard me teach it. You heard me instruct others. In fact, you had me instruct you personally, I believe. Today, people don't like doctrine. Doctrine has become a four-letter word in evangelicalism, which is just one step away from Protestantism. But unfortunately, even today, doctrine is becoming a four-letter word in fundamentalism. Now, fundamentalism is Bible-believing Christians. Evangelicalism is not Bible-believing Christians. Doctrine has become a four-letter word among those that we fellowship with so often. I hope it's not a four-letter word with you. Doctrine is more important than you can possibly imagine. Now, what was some of the doctrine that Timothy knew, that he heard Paul preach, that he had Paul teach him, and he knew Paul believed it because Paul lived what he believed? Well, let me encourage you to look at the last, second to last verse in this passage of Scripture, in this chapter. Verse number 16, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All right, we can just stop there. We'll cover this verse here in a few weeks. But just that one statement says a mouthful. In doctrinal circles today, we call this the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. Now, there's three very important words in that statement that are being denied today. The first is inspiration. Inspiration just means God gave it to us. It wasn't made up by man. Paul didn't sit down and record his own personal religious experiences. But the Holy Spirit of God moved him, holy men of old, and instructed him what to write. Now, he used Paul's personal experience. He used Paul's personality. He used Paul's vocabulary. Sometimes I wish God would give me a different vocabulary, because then I could sound really eloquent and really do a nice job preaching. But he stuck with what I am. And he just limits himself to our natural abilities. And that's what he did when he gave these holy men of old the Word of God. It's inspired. It means it came from God directly. Not from man, but directly from God. That's important. There's a lot of people that reject that today. Okay? So that's inspiration. Oh, I said verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. What does verbal mean? Verbal just means word by word. And this is really under attack, this Bible doctrine that's right here in this phrase that we read. All Scripture is given by inspiration. When he's talking about the Scripture, he's talking about word by word, and we can go through just multiple upon multiple verses that show that God gave the very words, not the thoughts and the ideas. You see, that's what many are saying today. And if you're using the New International Version, you are reading a Bible that was translated. In fact, I really hesitate to call it a Bible. It's nothing more than a paraphrase, because it was translated by men who rejected the verbal inspiration of God. They didn't believe God gave us the words. They think that they have the liberty to take the thoughts that God gave and put it into their own words, because they think God only gave ideas and thoughts. Very vague, very unspecific. But I believe God gave us every word, because the Word of God teaches us that very clearly. There is, as I say so often, no word there by accident. God didn't have an assignment from anybody saying, now you've got to write this and have so many words in your paper. Now, didn't you hate those in school? Man, I hated that when a teacher said, all right, you've got to write a 500-page paper. I hated that, because that didn't just mean I had to write, which I hated, but that means I also had to count what I wrote. And that was the worst punishment I ever got from a teacher. Well, besides having to speak in public. God didn't have that limitation or that requirement. What He put, every single word is here for a purpose and for a reason. Verbal. Very important. Being attacked today. Paul believed it. Paul says to Timothy, look, you knew my doctrine. You fully knew my doctrine. You didn't have any question mark in your mind. You knew where I stood when it came to the Word of God. But also, there's a third word. Remember, there's verbal plenary inspiration. Now, we've dealt with verbal, we've dealt with plenary, we've dealt with verbal and inspiration. What about plenary? What in the world does that mean? How many of you used the word plenary in this last week? I didn't think so. Neither did I until tonight. It just means all of it. Just means all of it. And again, that's in this passage of Scripture. It says all Scripture. Now, you would be surprised how many of the radio preachers that you can listen to and tune in throughout the week, or the televangelists that you can tune into reject this. They will take that statement, all Scripture, and they'll say, well, that only refers to the parts that are actually written by God. It doesn't refer to the part that's written by man. They don't believe, and they would never hold up their Bible and say, this book is the very Word of God. They would never say that. What they would say, and it's a very slick counterfeit statement that deceives so many, they'll say, this book contains the Word of God. Is that saying the same thing? Obviously not, because of the way I introduced the statement. The fact is, that's a lie from the devil. That's a yea hath God said. And so they can pick and choose what they believe God gave them, and they can pick and choose what they don't like and throw it out and just say, well, that was inserted by man. And you've had all kinds of crazy things. Paul tells Timothy, look, you knew my testimony. You fully know, you're fully aware of where I stood on the Word of God. But he also, look back if you would in 2 Corinthians, the last verse of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse number 13. Because there's another doctrine that's under fire today that's being rejected. You see, these people don't fully know what Paul stood for, because they reject the doctrine, the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, and so they make things up. And they say, well, that's not in the Word of God. I don't see it anywhere. Well, it is there. They're just blinded to it. Or they say, that's just not God's Word. Or they say, that's not what God meant. Because God, remember, according to them, God only gave the ideas. He didn't give the very words. And so we can translate that to meet our own standard of what we believe. And it's not biblical Christianity. 2 Corinthians 13:13, it's called the Apostolic Benediction. As he's signing off on this letter, he says, the grace of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the second person of the Trinity, and the love of God, there's the first person, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. So the Holy Ghost is the third person. Paul believed, and Timothy fully knew it. He knew where Paul stood. Paul wasn't vague. Paul was very obvious. Paul was very to the point on this. Paul said, I believe there is one God who has revealed Himself as three persons. We call it the Trinity today. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there are so many that reject that today. It's just ridiculous. Because the Bible is so plain and so clear on this doctrine. Paul tells Timothy, look, you fully know the doctrine that I stood for. You fully knew the doctrine I preached and the doctrine I taught and the doctrine I lived by, and it included the three persons of the whole of the Trinity. There's a God in heaven who created me and created all that exists, to whom one day I will give an answer, and who has set up the standards by which I must live and abide by. I can't make that up either, because God has already set it down for me in His Word. And so I'll have to give an answer to Him someday. Because I believe there's a God in heaven, the Father. He says, but I also believe that even though I come short of His glory, that the second person, the Son, came and died for me. He lived a sinless life after being born of a virgin, supernaturally conceived as no other child ever was. And when He hung on that cross, the only debt He paid was mine and the rest of fallen man, for none of His own. He died a sacrificial death. You see, Paul believed that in the second person of the Trinity, that Jesus Christ is God. There's so many that reject that today that we don't have time to start listing names and naming names. But it's the Bible doctrine. But remember, they don't believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, and so they can throw that out too. But Paul believed it. Timothy knew Paul believed it, and Paul lived according to that, because he knew that on the road to Damascus, he encountered him, I would say face to face, but Paul came up blind. All he saw was the bright light and had to be led into Damascus. So Paul put this doctrine into his life. And Paul also believed that there was the Holy Spirit, who Himself is God. He believed that the Holy Spirit filled him, instructed him, led him, guided him. You remember there's a couple times in the book of Acts when Paul was on his missionary journeys and the Holy Spirit forbade him from going into regions that he wanted to go preach the gospel. Now, you would think that would be a good thing, wouldn't you, to go preach the gospel to people that had never heard. But the Holy Spirit said, Paul, I don't want you to go there today. I've got something else in mind for you. And then, as he was sleeping one night, he got what we call the Macedonian call. And he went over and took into Europe and took the gospel there into Macedonia and then down into Corinth and in the regions over there. And God abundantly blessed his ministry. Why was that? Because the Holy Spirit of God indwelled him, the third person of the Trinity. Paul lived his life believing the doctrine that God set forth in his word. He believed in the Trinity. Much denied today, just as the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture is. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is one I believe that we all here believe. I would certainly hope so, that everyone listening believes this. But unfortunately, not very many people do believe this anymore today. They just can't grasp it. It's so simple. A four-year-old child and younger can understand these truths, and yet so many reject it because it just doesn't make sense, human sense, to them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, Paul believed in salvation by faith alone, apart from works, and Timothy knew that. Timothy knew where Paul stood. Timothy had seen Paul preach the gospel, had seen multitudes come to Christ as a result of the preaching. And he knew that Paul didn't insert any works anywhere into the gospel that God gave him to preach. Timothy understood because he fully knew what Paul stood for and how Paul preached and how Paul practiced the doctrine he believed. So that when multitudes got saved as a result of his preaching, he didn't tell them, all right, now you believe, now you need to be baptized. He never said that. He never told those new converts, and Timothy knew this because Timothy was there. He had first-hand eyewitness account of what Paul believed and what Paul taught. And he understood that Paul, when someone got saved, did not instruct that new believer, all right, now you're saved, but now you've got to keep the Ten Commandments, or you've got to live obediently, otherwise you're going to lose it. Paul taught that once they were saved, they were always saved. No matter what sin came into their life, now it's not a license to sin. In fact, exactly the opposite. Because the Holy Spirit indwelling us convicts us of our sin and creates that burning desire to live for our Savior. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10, when we talk about Paul's purpose. But Paul firmly believed and taught that salvation was by faith alone, entirely apart from the works of man. And Timothy knew that. Timothy witnessed it. Timothy fully knew as he watched Paul in action and in life. Many reject that today, though, don't they? Our Catholic friends think that there's seven sacraments, and that if you keep those seven sacraments, you'll do okay. And so they're really in a quandary right now because one of those sacraments is confession. And yet they have canceled all their church services. How are they going to do confession? I read of one priest who went to the hardware store and bought they described it as a plastic house. I imagine it's like a garden shed or something. And he converted it into a confessional so that people, as they walked down the sidewalk, and this was in a large city, I think it was in the city of New York, they could come up to the confessional and confess their sin so that he then could declare them forgiven, at least in his mind, because God gave no man that authority. No one can forgive sin but God alone. But they're in a quandary because they don't believe what Paul taught. They've changed the Word of God. They do not believe in the verbal, plenary inspiration of the Word of God. And I could go on and on. There's many that add baptism. Many add good works to faith. And that then makes it not faith. But Timothy knew because he saw Paul. And he knew what Paul preached. He knew what Paul believed. He knew what Paul practiced. And God says Timothy fully knew it because he had seen it. There's one more area I want to look at tonight. We've got time for one more. And boy, is this one ever debated today. I don't know why. God's clear. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Well, this is one that people argue with this till they're blue in the face. And yet, here's the Word of God. You're not arguing with me. I'm trying to present what God said. If they want to argue with me, they're arguing with God, because I'm not going to change it to what I feel. I'm going to change it to what God said. You see, Timothy fully knew where Paul stood on this matter as well. He saw Paul teach it. He heard Paul teach it. And he saw how Paul practiced. He knew when Paul ordained a deacon in a church, when he ordained a preacher in a church, when he ordained a Sunday school teacher for adults, he saw every time that Paul did that, it was a man to teach men. Look what it tells us. You see, Timothy knew where Paul stood on the role of women in the church. Verse number 12 of 1 Timothy 2, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." And so the teaching and the usurping authority both apply to the over the man. So women have no business being preachers, because there's no woman who can stand behind a pulpit and not preach to the men that are in the congregation. I sat in it was actually a Sunday school class one time that had a Jezebel teaching it, and her husband was in the class, and he thought he was so spiritual, he said, "She is not usurping authority," because they knew I didn't agree with that. But she said, or he said, "She is not usurping authority because I give her permission to teach, and I'm okay with that." Well, that's only half the verse, isn't it? And so they just threw out half the verse. What they're telling me is they don't believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture, because if they did, they wouldn't throw out half of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 12, where it forbids the woman from teaching a man. Timothy knew where Paul stood on this matter. Now, obviously, Timothy knew that Paul did not think women did not have any service for God. He didn't believe that Paul taught, because he didn't see Paul ever teach, that women could do nothing but sit in a local church. Boy, if it wasn't for the ladies of our churches wouldn't exist. We would not be here today if women didn't participate in ministry. And so, praise God, He has a place for them and a role for them. But the Bible is very clear that it is not behind the pulpit, and it is not as a deacon, nor is it as a teacher of men. And so Timothy knew these things. He fully knew them, as God put it, because he followed Paul around for years and was taught by Paul, and he saw what Paul practiced, and he heard what Paul preached, and he did likewise. You see, Paul's saying, "Timothy, you know my testimony. It was open. I was real. I didn't put on a show, and you know it." And essentially what he's saying here is, go and do likewise. As you read through your scriptures, especially through the book of Acts, and read the life of Paul, God says the same thing to you tonight. Go and do likewise. Just simply believe what Paul taught, because it came from God, and then practice what Paul taught, because it too comes from God. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, help us to understand what your word teaches and then practice it in our lives, that you'd receive the honor and the glory from our lives, that we too would have the same testimony that Paul had as he's looking at the small number of his days and basically telling Timothy farewell in this letter. Father, help us to be encouraged and to be challenged by Paul's life and his testimony, and to implement these things in our lives, so that the next generation will look at us and say, "You know, they were real. I watched, I saw, and they were consistent. Not perfect, but consistent." Father, we'll thank you for what you'll do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.